Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 29th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and best of all, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Man, have we got a lot of stuff gearing up for the 4th of July. I'll tell you what, cool stuff everywhere. So we talked to Dr. Murray Sabrin, ladies and gentlemen, a well-known libertarian. And we talked about election fraud. We talked about the economy. We talked about the supply chain problems, navigating the boom-bust cycle. The question is World War III started? What about international battles? What about secession? Is it a real possibility? What about internal conflict in America? America, the next 70 years, an incredible video he put together. It's a video at Sovereign Center, or I should say Sabrin Center for Free Enterprise. We talked about gun control, the Second Amendment, the libertarian answer. We talked about immigration, how to end the invasion, ladies and gentlemen. And sponsorships are one of the great keys. That's how he got here. That's how he recommends others do it as well. We talked about abortion. Pro-life is the libertarian answer. Believe it or not, you know, I used to say I was a libertarian with morals because a lot of libertarians believed in, you know, free drugs and sex and whatever. It's not that they believe in those things. It's that they don't believe government can stop them for the most part, right? Jettison aggression, first do no harm, is kind of the libertarian principle. And, you know, when you think about that, you got to then interpret what harm is. But the live and let live principle becomes more and more and more logical the more you study it and understand it. You know, the late Becky Akers, our dear friend who's passed away now, used to be on with us. She called herself an anarchist. An anarchist in the traditional sense means destroy everything in your wake. It's crazy town. She didn't believe that's what real anarchy was at all. She believed that it was, we just don't need government to do everything. Most, if not all, things can be done in the private sector by free association and by contract. And we just don't need government to insert itself, because whenever you give it an inch, it takes a mile. Whenever you legitimize government in any way, before you know it, it's off the rails. And it's about impossible to argue against that point, because look where we are today. Wow. Anyway, Mr. Sabrin does a phenomenal job on your radio. We'll have him back soon for sure. All right, Howard Stern is in the news, folks. You know, this whacked out shock jock guy, the guy that spins perverted radio, done so for years, well-known icon, so outlandish and extreme and perverted that he got taken off radio and put on satellite radio. He was so delighted to get there because he could just, you know, peddle his perversions there and everything else. Very nasty talk show. Some people think it's funny. But really, just a hostile guy. Well, he now spills his, in my personal opinion, his negative views, his hatred, right into the mix of current politics. Why? Because we decided to stand up for babies, pro-life, and he had a cow. This guy's an opposite of a libertarian, in my opinion. Howard Stern now voices his displeasure with the Supreme Court choosing to overturn Roe versus Wade. He says, quote, I'm actually going to probably have to run for president now. Stern, 68 years old, told his listeners. That's according to the Hill newspaper. So now Howard Stern saying he's going to run for president. Now, Stern, by the way, said he's not afraid to run for president. And he said that he would install 5 new Supreme Court justices. And that if he were to run against former Donald Trump in 2024... he would beat his A, is what he says. He didn't say A, by the way. But, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't the first time Mr. Stern has flirted with or suggested he's going to run for president. He also said in November 2021 that he was going to do so. That's according to the Daily Mail, but I guess he didn't do it. I guess Stern on the air sounded pretty braggadocious and sounded pretty like he had his act together. But then we hear from behind the scenes when he got off the air, he was talking to his co-host, Robin. And he basically said to her, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't I'm not. In other words, he's not even really ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, everything that Howard Stern wants to promote is really wrong. The downing of America. He's an immoral character, promotes immorality to get rich via the radio. He's a shock jock, to say the least, right? But Howard Stern is pro-death. He's mad that we stood for pro-life. You know, and I would say to a lot of these people, if you don't believe government's purpose is to protect life, liberty, and property, you can go ahead and just go somewhere else then, where they don't prize life, liberty, or property. But furthermore, here's what he had to say. Stern is not a fan of the Electoral College. He doesn't believe in that system, if you will. Stern says, I'm going to do the very simple thing that'll set this country straight. One vote, one person, no more Electoral College. I'm getting rid of it, he says. Wow. Very strange. He wants to go ahead and get rid of the Electoral College. He doesn't believe in it. He then goes on and says Trump lost by 3 million votes. That's the popular vote. And he goes on. Look, folks, we don't need people to become president of the United States who already tell you how they're going to undermine the Constitution. Okay? You need to use your brain, my fellow Americans. Please, I'm not trying to be offensive here. I'm trying to be clear. Look, when somebody starts out by saying, I don't believe in the fundamental checks and balances of America, a check and balance on vote fraud, thank heavens, and in America is the Electoral College, saying, look, we'll have the popular vote, we'll have the Electoral College vote. Eventually, the Electoral College will decide. But there's these checks and balances that are put in place. Everything the founders did was they put together this incredible, elaborate, but yet incredibly simple system where everything has a counterbalance. Everything has a protection in it. Everything has a, yes, you can do this, but slow down. Yes, you can do this, but you're going to bring other people into the mix or the discussion. No, you can't do that because you got to this. And everything has a check and balance. Okay? And if he yeets the Electoral College like he wants to yeet babies, kill it. Kill them, then, folks, we're not holding the moral high ground. We're disabling the checks and balances the founders put in place. Okay, and I look at the 17th Amendment as a great example. You know, the states used to put their own senators in place, and the state legislative bodies would vote on and then elect a legislator on the Senate side. The people would be the House side, and the state legislative bodies would be the Senate side. And that was designed to create a check and balance and give everybody or every group or every faction a seat at the table. Well, we've dismantled that now, and we have more of a democracy, less of a constitutional check and balance-based republic as a result of this, in my opinion, disaster. That's why we've got to get rid of the 17th Amendment. But so the states had representation at the general government level. Now the states don't have any representation at all. You got more of a democracy where the people vote directly by the popular vote for the senators and for the House of Representatives, both houses in Congress, the upper house and the lower house, so to speak. Right now, that takes away an incredible check because the states don't have a seat at the table now. They don't have anybody representing them. See? And what the states would have done, the state legislative body, they would have had a specific interest in how well our state was represented, how well the state legislative bodies were respected and given autonomy, how well we kept the general government in its proper sphere, how well the dual sovereigns worked together. See, the state legislative bodies would have jealously guarded that, and they did. But then we just basically disassembled that. So now if we disassemble the Electoral College, as Howard Stern wants to do, you're just going to have more and more and more and more popular, more and more democracy, more and more demon crazy, more and more, you know what? You got two wolves and a sheep. Who's for dinner? Right? Kind of discussions. And that's the problem that I see here. And so, you know what? Shame on Howard Stern. First off, I don't believe Howard Stern could beat Donald Trump at all in the first place. I don't know what Trump is going to say about that. Now, Trump probably liked Howard in the day, because I think they're kind of two peas in a pod with their kind of crass behavior, their immoral stance, And when Donald Trump was, I'm trying to think how to say this, when he was not a political figure, he's kind of a fat cat in New York, was very kind of liberal, hung out with the rich people and the famous and everything else. The Apprentice TV show, it goes on and on. When he was kind of that world, hey, Stern loved Trump and Trump loved Stern. Right? Now, they say Howard Stern ended his friendship with Donald Trump for this reason. Yeah. Anyway, why do you think they kind of jettisoned? Well, because Trump went conservative? See, they used to be buddies. Howard Stern wants to run against Donald Trump in 2024. Do you think that Howard Stern has a chance? What do you think? I don't know if Stern will run for president. He's floated the idea multiple times, but a lot of these big wigs do this. Do you think people would vote for Howard Stern? Would you allow Howard Stern to become the president? See, folks, this guy's already telling you how he's going to undermine the Constitution. But yet if he becomes president, won't he have to swear an oath to the very Constitution he plans to undermine? All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I got a guest coming up at 8:30. Dennis Lavitt will be talking about United We Pledge and their incredible events coming on this 4th of July weekend. It's going to be incredible, folks. They're going to do the groundbreaking for the Liberty Village. That's what they're calling it, the Liberty Village. It's going to be incredible, groundbreaking. I'll be there. We'll bring you play-by-play to the best of our ability. Groundbreaking will happen now. Ribbon cutting in 2026. It's going to be an epic journey along the way. To the 250th year anniversary will be the ribbon cutting of the United States of America's celebration of our shared values. I say shared values because we really need to share them, ladies and gentlemen, if we want America to be successful going forward. All right, now, I talked about Howard Stern. I wouldn't vote for the guy. He's going to undermine the very Constitution he's supposed to be, if he's president, sworn to uphold. So that's a concern right out of the gate, in my opinion. All right, now, there's a guy by the name of Michael Stinger. S-T-E-N-G-E-R. Michael Stinger. Now, do you know who this guy is? He was the United States Senate Sergeant at Arms who oversaw the January 6th reality. Well, he's found dead, folks. Yeah, just recently, he just found dead. They don't have an explanation of why he's dead. He's just dead now. Hopefully, we'll get more information ASAP on this. But it's very concerning that he was found dead while they're pushing the hearings. While the hearings take a turn with this little girl witness that's supposed to be the rock star against Donald Trump. And she makes all these outrageous claims. But most of the claims she's making that I see are, I overheard this. I overheard that. I thought I understood this. When I heard this, it sounded like that. And she's not really giving firsthand reality testimony exactly. It's kind of like I was a fly on the wall and this is the deal. Very concerning in my mind because the people that were involved directly are contradicting what she's saying. She says, hey, Donald Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the limo to force that he could go to the Capitol and they wouldn't let him. And the guys in the car that were there are going, that's not what happened. That isn't true. And she's going, yeah, I overheard them say it. Folks, this is thou shalt not bear false witness time. In my humble opinion, now, I don't know what she knows. I don't know how true her information is. All I'm telling you is this is a fiasco. Well, anyway, interestingly enough, Michael Stinger dies. He's dead. Well, here's the interesting thing about this United States Sergeant at Arms at the time. Stinger, believe it or not, resigned from his duties as Sergeant at Arms a day after January 6th, 2021. Why do you think this guy would resign a day after? He had great service to his country. Now he resigns a day after. Now, believe it or not, he already testified. And here's what he testified to that I find fascinating. During a February 2021 hearing with what they call the Senate Homeland Security Committee, Stingler called for the investigation of the role of professional agitators during the incursion. That's according to Daily Mail. He said investigations should be considered as to funding and travel of what appears to be professional agitators, Stingler said. Now think about that for a minute. Michael Stingler, or Stinger, I think is how you say it. Michael Stinger. This guy literally was the sergeant at arms. A day after January 6th, he resigns. Then he testifies and says, hey, we need to look into the travel and the funding of professional agitators. Then, now we're attacking Trump relentlessly, claiming that Trump didn't worry about people who were armed and it was no big deal and blaming it all on Trump. But then this guy, right before all this testimony comes out, just dies. He's dead now. And he's the one saying we need to look into these professional agitators. We need to look into the funding and the travel of these people. Now, I remind you, Revolver Magazine and others, even in congressional testimony, we point to this guy named Ray Epps and many other fellow perpetrators, I don't know what to call them. They're on video literally breaching the Capitol. So this guy that calls for these actors or these agitators to be reviewed, look, where did Ray Epps get his money? Where did he travel? What's the deal with this guy? The government's not looking in any of that. But they got this little girl, this intern, going, yeah, I overheard all this stuff about Donald. Donald's the bad guy. Donald didn't care that people were armed. Donald this, Donald that, Donald. Donald fires back. Oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's ignorant. She claims that she's not my friend, that I'm a bad guy, but she wanted to hang out with me. And now we have all this subterfuge. But the guy that called for looking into these, quote, professional agitators is the term he used for them. We need to look into their travel and their funding. And the guy resigned a day after. And then he was the United States Sergeant at Arms. He's saying this, and now the guy winds up dead. Now, call me a conspiracy theorist. Call me what you will. My fellow Americans, do you find that fishy? Do you find that weird, or is it just like, oh, Sam, you're crazy? Look, this guy, this Michael Stinger guy, who resigned a day after. He was in a February 2021 hearing. He was with the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and he was testifying under oath, and the Stinger guy had called for the investigation of the role of, quote, professional agitators during the incursion that happened on January the 6th. Investigations should be considered as to funding and travel of what appears to be professional agitators, this Stinger guy said. Now, that's exactly what we've been calling for, because we're saying, look, blaming these 800 people that just were milling around the Capitol and some that got pushed into the Capitol and people like Simone, one of the leaders of the frontline doctors, they're arrested because they gave a speech, or they're arrested because they stood in there with a sign, or they're arrested because of whatever. Folks, why are we letting Ray Epps and these professional actors that we literally have on video? We're ignoring all these professional actors, folks, these professional agitators. They have been causing trouble summer after summer. They're the ones that created Chaz in the middle of Seattle, Washington. They're the ones that have created violence and havoc all over this nation under the lie that the media peddles of peaceful protesters, right? Okay, but look, this guy's calling it out now. He resigns the day after. He testifies. He tells the truth, and now he winds up dead. And now we're just going to say Donald Trump was the only professional agitator. That guy's a bad guy. Folks, this is off the rails like nobody's business. And I bring this up because we, the American people, need to be told the truth and be wise enough. If you don't believe me, go research the Revolver magazine articles and video and I don't know what you call it, but presentation on this Ray Epps character and the associated characters and how literally they're on video breaching the fence, breaching the police line, literally leading innocent Americans into a trap. It's all on video, folks. It is beyond debate. And when Congress brings up, hey, who is this Ray Epps character? Who is this professional agitator? Then government just goes, well, you know, we're not allowed to discuss that. Well, how are you going to have a hearing and get to the truth if you don't discuss that? And how are you going to have a hearing and get to the truth, ladies and gentlemen, when Michael Stinger, he was the United States Senate Sergeant at Arms at the time, resigns the day after, and then he says, let's look into these professional agitators. We got to do that. We got to look into their travel, and we got to look into their funding. And then he winds up dead, and now we just mock and say, well, we can't give you any of that information, Congress. Folks, this stinks to high heaven. We've got to dig in and have understanding of this. We have got to create accountability and transparency on these things, or it can happen again. Any peaceful assembly that our founding fathers fought so hard to guarantee in the First Amendment is on the altar of this betrayal. Whether it be Charlottesville or January 6th or whatever else, most people at Charlottesville were there to protect our statues and to protect our historical relics. And a few got off the rails, and then, the whole thing was, wow, white supremacists at Charlottesville and extreme Donald Trump supporters, conspiracy theorists on January the 6th. What's next? What's next if we allow this to continue? Folks, we cannot allow these things to continue. We have got to have accountability and transparency. It's time to wake up, my fellow Americans, and get educated. All right, switching topics again, bottom of the hour. I'm Sam Bushman. This is the one and only, nationally syndicated with global reach via the internet and more, Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting talk show.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Turkey agreed Tuesday to lift their objections to Sweden and Finland joining NATO, paving the way for the two Nordic nations to begin the joining process. A Harris County judge on Tuesday temporarily blocked pre-Roe abortion ban in Texas. That was being enforced while the state's trigger law has yet to take effect. After a presumed migrant smuggling attempt that led to the deaths of 51 people in a locked big rig, two Mexican nationals have been charged in San Antonio, Texas. They're both charged with illegal possession of firearms and overstaying their visas. No charges directly related to the deaths have been processed as of Wednesday morning. A Mexican government official tweeted that at least 22 of the dead were from Mexico, 7 from Guatemala, and 2 were Honduran. Ghislaine Maxwell on Tuesday was sentenced to 20 years in prison by a federal court on sex trafficking and other charges. USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' top aide Cassidy Hutchinson testified before the made-for-TV January 6 committee, saying Trump attacked Secret Service agents and tried to take over a moving SUV. Two Secret Service agents have now come forward to dispute that claim and have agreed to testify. Lawmakers in California continue to astonish the American people with decisions they make regarding law enforcement and escalating crime.
A trendy Los Angeles County community has voted to reduce law enforcement funding despite public backlash and escalating crime that spiked 137% earlier in the year. The budget for the next two fiscal years will leave West Hollywood with up to 5 fewer LA County Sheriff's deputies on patrol. The council did approve increasing funding for a cultural arts festival. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much going on. It's hard to know what to even focus on. There's so many things in America to focus on, right? The culture war front center. There's so many issues that we can bring up. But you know what? I want to bring up good news. You know, we're sometimes just barraged with news that's not so good, that's not comfortable, that you just go, man, what? Controversy. Even the good news of the pro-life decision, Roe overturned. That's great news. But you know what? The whole topic of abortion's negative, right? So I'm grateful for the good news on it. Don't misunderstand me, but I also say, man, I want just clear good news. Well, I got it just for you, folks. UnitedWePledge.org is the website. And you know what? United We Pledge is a private, nonprofit, nonpartisan, non-denominational foundation established to celebrate our shared responsibility, right? The traditional values of American values of freedom, family, faith. We're talking about prosperity, the American way, the American dream, all wrapped up into United We Pledge. And man, they're doing some cool stuff. Dennis Levitt, president of United We Pledge. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Wow, Sam, thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure to talk to you today. The work you're doing is fantastic, and United We Pledge is 100% behind you in every way.
We appreciate it, sir. I'll tell you what, you guys have some cool stuff happening this weekend, and I get a front row seat, man.
You do get a front row seat to anything and everything you want to participate in. I don't know where your listeners are scattered across the United States, but if any of them make it to Washington County, Utah, to St. George, Utah, we'll give them a front row seat by you, Sam.
Now, there's so much going on. Let's start with the groundbreaking. We're calling it Liberty Village now, so people kind of understand. There's two villages. They're like-minded in really every way. The founding of the American Village and the founding of Liberty Village have the same roots, the same core, the same virtual mission, but they're calling it Liberty Village just to make it kind of clear which one we're talking about, which location, et cetera. But the groundbreaking Saturday, right?
Yeah, that's right. The groundbreaking Saturday at 9 a.m. And I don't know how many people are going to come out to the groundbreaking. We would welcome anyone who wants to come, of course. But we're just excited to get the project started. Groundbreaking for us is a symbol of the work begins now. And we've got an aggressive build schedule. We've worked with a great architectural firm, an engineering firm out of Phoenix, Arizona, Orcutt Winslow. Westland Construction has agreed to help on the construction of the project. They've got some, some really good experience in this kind of work. And so, yeah, July 2nd, we break ground, which means July 3rd and 4th and 5th, it's time to start moving dirt and really getting after it.
It's also time to celebrate, though, ladies and gentlemen. And I had the opportunity to be with Dennis at a former event where we celebrated faith, freedom, and liberty. And Dennis was kind of explaining the story about, you know what, how this whole thing started. And it started because, hey, people are being asked, why don't you participate in our freedom festivals? And the idea was, you know what, at a freedom festival, we've really got to focus on the principles of freedom. We can't just, well, I'll give you this example to make the point. I don't know if you know this, but a new study came out from Wallet Hub, Dennis. They're going to spend the American people are going to spend $1.4 billion on alcohol for the 4th of July.
Wow.
$1.4 billion in alcohol. And what Dennis Levitt and the folks at United We Pledge, and of course Liberty Roundtable Live concurs, folks, I appreciate that you want to celebrate, but let's celebrate the real of America. Let's celebrate the God, family, country aspect, the faith, the freedom, the families. Let's not just get drunk on the holiday and call it good. Let's do something meaningful. Isn't that how this all started?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Sam. And that's an interesting statistic, a sad statistic, actually. We were asked to be a title sponsor for an Independence Day event. And for us, we have three parts of our mission, right? One is to educate, one is to celebrate, and one is to have a destination, a location where people can come and step back in time. And as part of this celebration, we said when the offer came, if it's a July 4th event and you just think we want our logo or our brand somewhere, that's not appealing to us. But if it's an Independence Day event where we can literally start with a prayer and a pledge and honor veterans and have the nation's flag flying proudly and talk about and educate about the week in 1776 revolving around the Declaration of Independence and that document that helped start this massive revolution in a positive way. I know you like to talk about a restoration. It's time for a restoration. And in 1776, it was time for a restoration of independence. And we love that. And if we can celebrate and lend our experience and hard work and efforts to that kind of a cause, then we are all in. But if it's just, like you said, another drink of alcohol or another kind of slice of watermelon, that's not what we believe the party's about, Sam.
And in my opinion, education is the first principle that you guys highlight at UnitedWePledge.org. And that really relates to helping people understand, look, America is the greatest country on the face of the earth, not because white people or the people that founded America are better than anybody else. This is not a racial discussion. It is that we have found principles. The grand experiment of the founding fathers was and is successful. And everybody who comes to this country, we're all God's children and we all benefit from the rich blessings. And the question becomes, how do we make sure those blessings carry forward from generation to generation? How do we preserve and protect and advance that legacy that we've been given? This is a message for all of God's children. Dennis?
That's right. It is a message for all of God's children. The way that we promote it and preserve it is through true principles, right? There are founding values and founding principles. And as we establish ourselves on true principles, then they can be enduring over the course of time. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the organizational structure of this republic, those are founded on principles, principles that need to remain intact. And as they do remain intact, we secure for ourselves and for our posterity the greatest opportunity to obtain happiness and peace and prosperity that we can in every way.
And safety. There's not safety is a key too, understand.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was just going to say I agree with that. There's just no better way than to be founded on true principles. It's one of the reasons that United We Pledge exists, in order to promote and to stand behind those traditional principles and values.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to give up liberty for security. The founders said if you do that, you'll wind up with neither. What you've got to do is preserve liberty, and as you do so, safety becomes and security becomes necessary but secondary to the principle of liberty. And it all starts with religious liberty. Dennis?
Yeah, there are some core liberties, religious liberties, one of them. Actually, we have an annual event here in St. George called Prayer for Religious Freedom. This year, a Sunday evening falls on July 3rd, Sunday evening in the historic St. George Tabernacle. It's right at the center of this beautiful little community we live in. And we're going to bring all of the faiths in the valley together. It's an interfaith event. There'll be beautiful music from the interfaith choir. We've got the head of the Catholic Church who's going to be, leading the program and conducting the program. The Jewish rabbi here is going to be saying a concluding prayer on the program. There's people of all faiths who come together to sing and to hear messages of inspiration. Religious liberty must be protected. And it starts with our prayers and our faith and our devotion, our commitment to staying religious, staying spiritual. And that means something different to everybody, which is okay. But it means just including God or higher power. It includes keeping that in your life so we stay balanced and make sure that we don't just set aside our freedom to express and to worship how, where, or what we may.
Even the founding fathers may not have agreed on the keys to theology, but what they did understand was inclusion. What they did understand was respect for one another. What they did embrace was the clarion call for civility. Okay, that's what they built their understanding on, to say, look, these Judeo-Christian principles relate to a more civilized society, but it's more. They relate to turning to God as the higher power rather than government. And they understood and articulated the blessings related thereto. All liberties start with religious liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Levitt with me, UnitedWePledge.org. I got more in seconds on your radio.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Levitt, president of UnitedWePledge.org on your radio. We're talking about the private, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization celebrating faith, family, freedom. We're talking about they're in St. George, Utah, and they're making a difference. They're building Liberty Village, and they're celebrating this weekend as they kick off their building project. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the groundbreaking Saturday the 2nd. Tom Jones will be running in to the celebration. He's been running from American Village in Alabama, 76 marathons in 76 days. And he arrives on July the 2nd, this Saturday, 9 a.m., at the new Liberty Village site. And then the groundbreaking ceremony begins. That kicks off an incredible 4th of July weekend where the prayer vigil celebration Sunday night in the historic tabernacle takes place. And then on Monday, a parade, a historic patriotic museum under the tabernacle will be available. And then, of course, the evening events will highlight the education related to the founding fathers, and then a country concert. There's nothing wrong with having some fun on the 4th of July, folks, but you got to do it in a respectful way. You got to do it in a moral way. You got to do it in a way that really celebrates religious liberty. All liberties hang on that religious liberty idea, not the keys to theology. Okay, my belief and your belief can be different, but a higher source than government is the quintessential point of the founding fathers. Dennis, let's start there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we're excited for a weekend that all America, you know, comes together on in a general way. But like you invited earlier, Sam, let's come together to remember the ideals of which the nation was founded on. So we use this platform and this time to celebrate in the right way. We're excited. It's going to be a big fun weekend and a spiritual weekend. It's going to be a great opportunity to come and learn.
Amen to that. We're excited about it. And ladies and gentlemen, this groundbreaking kicks off really a four-year project, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the inspiration for the Liberty Village, we discovered in a little town called Montevallo, Alabama. A gentleman named Tom Walker was the visionary and founder and longtime CEO of the American Village in Montevallo. And they bring literally hundreds of thousands of school students there to step back onto the stage of history. They've recreated important buildings that were significant in America's founding. Things like Liberty Hall, Independence Hall, and the Old North Church in Boston, and the Mount Vernon, and you know some of those kind of buildings. And it's a campus where there are interpreters, actors and actresses who stay in character. So you could walk down the streets of this colonial feeling village and talk to Franklin or Washington, talk to Adams, and have conversations in their terminology, the way they understood and saw the world from their day. And it's a miraculously fantastic place for youth. So when we saw the American Village, we knew that in the western part of the United States, we needed to build a similar campus so that youth and families could have that experience here. So we break ground on what's going to be called Liberty Village on July 2nd, and we'll start the work in order to reconstruct 1776 to, you know, the 1800s and beyond, right? We're going to create a village where people can step back in time and remember the ideals that this nation was founded on and study the documents that are core to this nation's heritage.
Now, one question people are going to be asking is, you know what, why in St. George, or just outside of St. George, Utah, there's for the most part, nothing around? Well, that's not true if you understand the little bit of research behind this, and it's strategically located on purpose in a very high-trafficked area, Dennis.
Yeah, Washington County, Utah is a tourist attraction in many ways. It's the gateway to so many national parks. People are familiar with the Grand Canyon, of course, which is not far, too far by car. Zion National Park has 4.3 million visitors a year to Zion National Park. And that's just within just a handful of minutes from where the Liberty Village campus will be. Liberty Village campus is going to be in the heart of Washington County in a little valley called the Hurricane Valley. It's property that was donated to us by Balance of Nature, which has been a great founding partner of this entire project. And on that campus property, there literally will be access to hundreds of thousands and millions of people who could potentially come onto the campus in order to learn about our founding values. I'd also just give a note, Sam, you know that it's in Washington County, right? Washington County was named for George Washington. And we believe that it's a fitting county in order to remember him, remember the things that he did as the father of our country, and to celebrate those founding fathers, the men and women who gave so much and sacrificed so much in order to establish the freedoms and the republic that we enjoy. We just want that to carry on so the American experiment can continue to flourish, and that's going to take place in our part of the world, in a hub called Liberty Village. We're excited.
All right, let's talk about the build-out of this and kind of paint a Birmingham of the vision, if you will.
It's a four-phase build-out, if that's what you're asking. Of course, we've got to get in roads and infrastructure. You know, we've got to get in water and power and all of those kinds of things. That's phase one. For phase two, by the middle of 2024, we anticipate having colonial America feeling buildings like blacksmith shops and print houses, bakeries. We'll have farm animals, and you know, we'll let agriculture and gardening and farming take place like it did in the 1700s. All of that is phase one, so that people can come and feel like they're back in early America, where the questions were being raised of, should we seek independence, and why are we opposed to taxation without representation, and what's the dynamic of the day that causes us to even need to become a free land and preserve the rights we enjoy. And then phase three, after we get that village set up, will be including some of the hallmark buildings of America's history, similar to the ones that exist in Montebello, Alabama. We've chosen three historic buildings to focus on the principles that United We Pledge is centered on. We're centered on freedom, family, and faith. We've selected as the building to represent freedom, Independence Hall. We know of no other place that tells the message of the Constitution and of the Declaration of Independence better than Independence Hall. And that will be a really beacon on the Liberty Village campus. For family, we've chosen Mount Vernon, you know, the family home of George Washington himself. And there's a great spirit about that building and that home. And we think it will be a great place to teach the values of family. And then
there
for
we
faith,
teach the humility of George Washington as well, no king but King Jesus, where he basically humbly walked away and set the standard for America to be led by a group of people, folks. Checks and balances. This is key to the success of the greatest country on the earth, and we'll celebrate that understanding as well, Dennis.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. And then we'll have a historic church on the campus, a church like Patrick Henry spoke in, or the Old North Church in Boston. We'll have a church that will allow us to remember the importance of faith in the American in the American way of life. So that's our build-out plan, and we hope to cut ribbon on July 4th, 2026. That's the 250th birthday of America, and as a gift to America, our commitment is that we're going to build this village and welcome families and youth to come in and bask in all that's great in our memory and in our history of America.
Do we expect a soft opening where people can kind of come earlier and kind of get a glimpse of what's happening and that kind of stuff as it unfolds? Or is it really just going to kick off in 2026?
No, we'll have like the groundbreaking, right? That's not a soft opening necessarily, but it's a time when people could come out and at least see where it's at. We have all the architectural plans that can be viewed, and we'll have maps and, you know, let everyone kind of get a feel of where things are located and how the build out's going to go. The soft opening will be once we get any of the colonial type buildings up, right? Once there's a blacksmith shop on site or a print shop, certainly we'll welcome the public to come and see and enjoy and participate.
You can get a glimpse of this vision is the point, and participate starting now, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to the groundbreaking, and then you can watch this project unfold. And one of the things that I intend to do with my family is every time we go to St. George, go take a look and drive by and kind of peek at the progress. And I want to be invested in this thing all the way as it unfolds. UnitedWePledge.org is the website where you can do so. But I want families to understand, don't just wait till 2026. Keep an eye on this. Feel the spirit of this. Put some donations in and participate all the way through, Dennis.
Yeah, we hope that's the case. This is a project that's a legacy project and a project of passion and love for this nation by people who now donated resources and energy and effort to get us this far. But it's not intended to be the Balance of Nature Village. It's not United We Pledge Village. It's certainly not going to be like, you know, some big corporate donor village. This is Liberty Village that belongs to all of America. And we would want every American to participate. Feel like you've, you know, on our website right now, UnitedWePledge.org, you can donate some money. You could buy a brick so that one of the pavers, you know, has your family name on it if you'd like. But I would love nothing more than, you know, a million Americans to each donate $5 just so that they felt like they were a part of it, that they had a place there, and that when they come to Washington County, that they feel like they're walking on hallowed ground that they helped build and that they contributed to, right? This nation, when our founders began the revolution, it was the common folk who banded together to say, we are going to unitedly preserve and protect our freedoms. And we're asking the same thing. We're just looking for common folk to say, let's pass on a generation of education to those come after us. And this is one location that will keep as pure as we can in order for that education to continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're flat out of time. We're trying to paint a vision of what's happening for the Liberty Village in St. George, or Hurricane, Utah, right outside of St. George. It's going to be an incredible event. We'll be talking about it all the way through for the next 4 years. We'll have Dennis back and many others. Tom Jones still running. He's only got a couple of marathons left. He'll be on with us tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. And we want to celebrate this. We want to feel the spirit of it. And we want to all be part of it in our own ways that promote our family and education and destination and celebration and all the things that bring about patriotism in America. Dennis Levitt, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sam. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.